Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
Nima, how you doing, Nima?
Yeah.
Did you record that and play it back to me? Oh, you're remixing me? I can hear you breathing. Stop breathing, human. We need robots to do this. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yo, I can't
you
hear
there?
You. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Were you remixing it, or was that a compass accident?
The Compass was remixing it, and it sounded really cool.
It did. Did you have to reboot it?
Yeah, but it sounded really cool. You should throw some chops and strange loops in there.
Oh, well, I did this, though, too. You have to check this out. It's pretty funny. Gets better.
What was that the intro to Submission and Coffee? It sounds like porn music.
Yeah, it does, huh?
Good evening, my
not a bad way.
I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied, and therefore never happy.
No vision can grant.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto es por su parte considera lo que
fue. Bada, fetelo filasime tioma amsi bada an arena fonsin.
Kazimierza, skąd się wzięła ta miłość do Kazimierza?
The United States government presents.
因为孩子在意大利出生，孩子的名字。
Studiato, testato, sperimentato.
Il tuo lato migliore è quello su cui ti siedi.
To provide guidance to mankind.
Why for now?
It's all stuff from my new radio show that I'm doing.
I know, man. It sounds awesome.
Did you hear the promo? The 1 minute promo?
No.
Okay, well, let's hear it. You have time now. All right.
Wake up, America.
Wake up, America.
Wake up, America.
It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the late night feisty liberty show. We have a rotating cast of interesting insomniac guests, plus we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Late night. The hamster in your brain is keeping you up.
Yeah. That's so you. That's what you've wanted your whole life, huh?
It is. Well, no, I'd rather do it with you, man. I'd rather do 7 days a week with you, but you can't do it. That's okay. That's okay. You know, it's like, I mean, we have an open relationship. You know, we have a lot of good sex. You and I, we're going to have a lot of good sex in the future, but you aren't giving me enough good sex, so I'm going to go have good sex by myself and with random other people.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I'm not hating.
Yeah, it's the market. It's the market, man.
It's the market.
Yeah. So speaking of the market, what I finally convinced you, you know, little brother, you need the Nortons. You need to have some virus protection. You need a condom on your computer. And you're like, I don't know. I've never had one. And I'm like, I'll buy it for you.
No, I have.
The Fiends will buy it for you. Okay, well, we bought it. I talked you into it. You reluctantly got it. You finally got it. And it fucking ate Audio Compass, the program that we do our show with. We had to find it and reinstall it and make it work and then tell Norton not to eat it. I did that to mine, too, while you were doing yours.
Stupid Norton.
Norton.
I mean, I guess it was just trying to do its thing, but
it's really nanny, man. It's like having the California National Guard directed by a PTA protecting your computers, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's NSA Internet Security.
It is.
I had Norton, like, in 2008 on my Dell, and it took up so much memory that it made it hard to run other programs. I'd turn it off whenever I'd record audio or anything
it's
like that.
It's better now. It doesn't – I run it all the time. It can run a scan while I'm recording on the computer, and it doesn't do anything.
Vape. I figured it'd be better. I read the reviews. People seem to say that it's the best of the pay ones.
Yeah. So,
which I guess are better than the free ones.
Are you what are you vaping there, Nima?
Are we recording or are we still bullshit?
We've been recording since I started playing music. That's how we roll.
Blort. My wife hates blort. Blort is the bane of her. I keep saying it. She hates it. Well, and then I describe. I figured out why it's such a perfect onomatopoeia, even though the actual blort really make a sound. But okay, it's an onomatopoeia because blort, right? The B is a bilabial. Just like the two lips on your pee hole, and then the lore when you use a L-O sound, it's pushing stuff out of your lip holes. Blah, so that's the stuff coming out, and the T, that's a stop afterwards. So that's your pee hole closing. Blort.
Wow.
So that's why it sounds like it.
Wow, man.
Yeah, it makes sense. So linguistics.
I called every one of our affiliates today to see if they needed any more stuff and. To tell them about my new upcoming show. I don't have a date for it yet. It's probably going to be in about a month or 2 months. Sometime between a month and 2 months, it's going to start. It's going to be Michael Dean After Dark. It's going to be Monday.
After Dark. Michael Dean After Dark.
Yeah, it's going to be a little more laid back. It's going to be
so dark.
Less political, but still libertarian, more general interest. It's going to be midnight to 2 a.m. Central Time, Monday night through Friday night. And the Friday night one is going to be a best of that I'm going to put together on Thursday. So I'm going to be live Monday through Thursday, 2 hours a night. And and then they may play replay on the weekend. So I may be on with that 7 days a week. But I still want to do The Fiends forever, man. But I want to do more radio. It's my dream, and I'm working so hard on it. It's not going to be much harder to work more on the radio, man. Yeah.
That's true. That's
so I already got one station that's going to take it. One of the Florida stations is going to take it. And the Part 15 station is going to take it. The other ones are all like, I couldn't get a hold of all of them. I left messages for some, and some were like, nah, I can't do it. And some were like, well, let me know when you have it. Let me hear it. So,
Well, I wish it the best, man.
Thanks, man.
I think it's cool because it kind of eases some pressure of the pressure off you. Up. I don't want to call myself a drag on you because I don't mean to be, but
no,
I've
man,
got
it's
a
cool
lot,
now.
Dude.
It's cool now.
You know, I've got other priorities right now.
All you have to do now is show up on Saturday and Sunday most of the time. And then if you can, I'll get Mike. Okay. Mike can do it on Sunday sometimes.
Yeah, man. Having a kid doing this, and I'm upping my DJ work because I'm working with a new company right now. And so I'm spending my mornings now trying to book new gigs. I need to buy PA, so now I gotta start planning all my equipment buying.
I have $8 more Bitcoin
for
you. And
still doing my day job.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thank you to whoever donated that.
Somebody bought buttons with Bitcoin. We have a whole thing to read of that. It was pretty funny.
Sure. Yeah, we've been doing a lot of Bitcoin business lately, man.
Everyone's got it.
I'm getting excited about the Bitcoin economy.
You said Goodwin's Law is failing because people are spending good money and not bad money.
Gershom's
Law. Yeah, Goodwin's Law. Those people, they're worse than Hitler. They're using Bitcoin. Goodwin's Gershwin's Law.
I think it's cool because people have a lot of it and, you know, they probably want to save some of it
but they
want to
have an economy
on the hopes that it'll go up.
It's not POG,
but
man.
Yeah,
they want to actually
use it.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, I think it's harder for people to spend their FRNs right now on some things because the police come and say, hey, you owe us $500.
They can't spend their Bitcoin at the court. You got ahead. Your family helped you out. You finally got, like, even so you could start getting ahead. Then what happened exactly, real quick?
Literally. Okay, so my dad came to visit because he wanted to see his new granddaughter. You know, December and January are really slow for the wedding season, so I haven't had a lot of DJ gigs. So I'm not saying we're struggling. You know, we saved up. We squirreled stuff away like good little worker bee squirrels. But, you know, we were just kind of on the edge there. My dad comes to town and out of nowhere writes me a check for exactly $500, says, you know, go buy Lily some things.
Now, let me ask
even
you
though
this.
We already bought everything for Lily.
If it had been a son, would he?
She could always use more clothes.
He's an old worldly guy. Huh? He's an old worldly guy. If it was a son, would he have given you $1,000?
I don't know if he's not that old world. If he was an old worldly kind of guy, he'd still be in the old world.
Yeah, that's true.
I think everybody who's here and likes being here is a new world kind of guy.
Yeah.
But so he writes this check. We're like, score, you know, and we start thinking about what we're gonna do. We're gonna spend some money, you know, a little bit of car maintenance. We're gonna put some towards the savings of some new equipment so I don't have to rent equipment from Rock and Roll Rentals.
The government
literally
says,
the next day. We go to check the mail. I got a letter from the government saying you owe us $500.
That's so fucking horrible, man. Exactly. That almost makes me believe in, like, well, that's not karma, though. It's just coincidence, but because you didn't do anything bad. You're a good guy. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a ticket from this tiny little, it's not even a town, it's a neighborhood.
You could say it's karma, though, because you get good karma because you got the money for the debt you were going to be thrust with. So there you go.
Yeah. I guess if you look at it that way,
because otherwise you'd be,
you know, I was going to get the debt laid on me anyway. So
yeah,
I guess having the money there that I didn't think I had to pay for, it's better than not. But man,
fuck the government.
How BS is that, man? How BS is that? It's this little town. It's called Westlake. It's not even a neighborhood. Like, I don't even think they have any shops or a strip mall. It's nothing but rich, giant, rich people's houses, McMansions, sandwiched in between Austin and Bee Cave. And literally, they own like a mile's worth of this one road. And I got caught speeding, going 5 miles over the speed limit in 2006. And they wrote me a $250 ticket. And then they wrote me a $250, an extra ticket for failure to appear, they called it. And I'm like, I'm here. You didn't say where I failed to appear to. So it's a bunch of BS. And actually, I remember I went in and I talked to the sheriff there because he finally got a hold of me. I went and talked to him. I was going to set up a payment plan. And I saw their filing system. They didn't even have computers in 2006. This little tiny podunk cop shop didn't even have computers. He had my stuff written and it was in a stack under his desk. And I thought to myself, I'm never going to pay them.
That sounds like something from a movie 10 years ago. Like there's actually a CSI where they have to go out in the sticks in Vegas and help solve a murder. And it's like, you know, they're at the sheriff's office and, like, you know, they're pulling boxes of records out. And, you know, Grissom's like, where's your computer? And he's like, it's right here. And he throws a box on the desk of papers.
That's from
6 years, 7 years ago, you know, like showing like, yeah, that part of Nevada is still that. Yeah.
Right.
Shit.
Right. Like and that, the state that is what makes this completely.
That part of Nevada probably has a computer by now, you know.
But by not now, Texas. Yeah, they just got it.
Yeah,
they just got a Raspberry Pi yesterday.
They just got a Coleco,
an
Amiga.
Yeah. But man, are you telling me that these they probably employ 5 police officers? Are you telling me that they would have the power to get that money from me if they couldn't tell the state to not renew my driver's license? Which, why would I need that anyway? That's so ridiculous. It's just the fact that they can say, Rick Perry, go get this money for us and send the state goons after me, man. Because if it weren't for that, I'd say F you guys.
Well, fuck it. Let's move on. Last time you had a traffic getting raped story, it went for 45 minutes and it doesn't need to.
Oh, I did see the cop that put me in handcuffs the other day when I was walking downtown, though. He didn't recognize me, but I recognized him. He was friendly. He smiled at me and said, hey, how's it going? Nice new baby.
You said, can I take a picture? You should have said, cool. Let me take a picture with you with it. And then, like, crop your baby out. And then just put him on cop block.
Yeah, should have.
So are you vaping some Plume Room vape there, Nima?
Actually, I am. Yeah, it's funny that you ask. Why do you ask, Michael?
Because Plume Room is our new paid advertiser, which is amazing. Ooh. It's really like,
wow.
Other than And we haven't had many paid ads. We've had Scott Beezer, and I love his stuff. But this is like the first product, like physical thing I'm using all the time. I went after them. I was like, I don't want to go after other vape companies. It was like, I want to endorse your product.
We did have Vaporsmith.
Ugh.
That was a product.
Well, that was before we knew. You know, that was like we were on dial-up, and we had never been on a computer, and we were like, dial-up's pretty cool. But this is like the Austin like Google Plus 300 millibytes per second vape, man. It's so good.
Yeah, it's the Google Fiber.
Yeah, you guys are the only town that's getting that. Do you know that?
I didn't know we were the only. I figured it was like us in San Francisco or something.
It's not. It usually is like the, you know, a few towns, but it's just Austin. And it's Google's offering it and AT&T's offering it.
AT&T. And yeah, they call theirs gigabit.
AT&T is offering it for it. It's 300 megabits up and down. That's fucking, I want to move to Austin. That's so cool. But it's like, I mean, I'm getting 30 down and 5 up. You know, and I have the I pay $10 an extra a month, but in AT&T's is going to be $90 a month or $70 a month, and they get to spy on your web habits. To like
what?
That's what they said.
In their language.
They didn't say spy, but they said like, you know, keep track of where
collect
you go.
Data.
Yeah, because they want to use it for like figuring out what to, they say they want to use it for figuring out what to do with their service.
Here's the thing. They probably do the same thing if you pay $90. They just get an extra $20 from you.
Yeah. They just – I know. They just want to get people used to getting paid by the – and the NSA is probably subsidized. I don't know. Think they do?
I'm kidding. Well, I mean, it's AT&T, right? They've been doing the wireless warrant tapping stuff since the Bush days and probably before then. I just remember that scandal with all the providers like AT&T.
Well, you know, there's a movie.
They're in bed with the government.
There's
a
sci-fi. There's a movie, not sci-fi, but like future, you know, 70s movie. I forget what it's called, but it's a not too distant, like anti-utopia kind of thing. And in this movie, like everyone's being fucked with all the time, and it's by the phone company. Like the phone company is the mega corporation, and they're called the phone company. And you know, I'm reading that book about 70s freeform radio called Radio Waves, and he talks about the building that they were in where they had their like hippie pot smoking radio station. The only other tenant in the building was like an unmarked door, and he said that all day long the people that went in and out of there were like men in business suits carrying silver briefcases and like men in overalls carrying like big anvil cases on racks, just in and out all day.
Wow.
And one day he asked him, who are you guys? What's your company? You know, we're next door. I'd like to, you know, welcome neighbor. And they're like, we're the phone company, and just kept walking. And it's like, they weren't the phone company, man. And he's convinced they were the CIA.
Wow! Yeah, the phone company.
We're the
phone company. That's a great euphemism.
Just walked away, man. Yeah,
we're the phone company, kid. Go away.
We're the phone company.
Yeah.
So NyQuil. Wow. Speaking of the CIA, one of the main ingredients in NyQuil is dextromethorphan. It was identified as one of three compounds tested as part of a U.S. Navy and CIA-funded research in 1954 that sought a non-addictive substitute for codeine. So basically, the CIA invented NyQuil. I mean, that's kind of a roundabout way of saying it, but I am never taking that shit again, and I quit taking it and just got well like 2 days later. You told me, oh, that might be why you're sick. It makes you nauseous and you can't get it up, or you can't come. And like I stopped. And today,
well, I remember my days of DXM.
Abuse.
I guess I'll call it abuse. I was an abuser of Robitussin.
I think that if you use that shit medically as directed, it's abuse because it's so fucking hard on your system, man.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to take it, I'm not suggesting anybody do this, but some people drink cough medicine for fun and they're idiots about it. And I've probably said this before.
Kills your liver.
But if you do just straight DXM, like from Robitussin cough 8 hour, which has only active ingredient in DXM,
doesn't have Tylenol.
You don't get nauseous, but you will trip balls and your balls won't be able to make a blort. And so that's what made me remember that, hey, man, maybe you should lay off the cough syrup if you're looking to blort.
And, you know, I felt like stupid talking on the podcast, talking about my penis. It's kind of like prurient even for the Wednesday show. But I was like, I want to find out if anybody out in Radio Land had this problem. Or like the same kind of illness as me. And you gave me the answer, and people could be like, well, you should talk to him when you're not on the show, but I don't talk to you when we're not on the show anymore. So I'm really glad I did it,
Sometimes.
Man. Never.
Yeah. Well,
There's, I tried calling you today six whatever. Times, man. I couldn't get hold of you.
Oh, man. I'm glad I didn't answer. No, I was playing hooky today. I needed I'm today. Glad I didn't I haven't had a day off in weeks. No, this morning, like, I was just beat. I was completely beat. I got, like, 3 hours of sleep last night. Stressed out. My wife, like, understood it, and we had a little talk this morning when I came home to take a little break. And she said, you could just not go to work. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll play hooky. And so we went out, and we went hipster antiquing, I guess I'll call it. We went hipster antiquing. That's going to all the little vintage shops in Austin.
Yeah.
And seeing all those silver briefcases from the 70s that you were describing.
And I'm glad that, I didn't get a hold of you and be like, hi, Nima, I want to be inside your head right now. I don't care. You got to talk to me right now.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't need that.
We went to Women and Women First. No, not really. But we went to the lesbian bookstore. No, not really. We went to Monkey Wrench Books, a lefty anarchy bookstore. In the
that basically means shopping like strip cyber that means like terrorism books. Monkey wrenching is like property damage.
Yeah,
the state,
yeah, I think that's what they meant. Yeah. There was a whole section called anti-civilization. It was kind of an interesting store, but you know they had a little spread of alternative type books. They had a whole section from a former journalism professor of mine, Robert Jensen, who got in trouble after 9/11 for saying this is blowback. You know, he basically wrote a letter about that, and the university put a lot of pressure on him. He did not apologize because he's a badass.
No one ever gets on our shit about that. I don't know. Maybe we don't have an audience, but I sure feel like we do because people write us all the time. But like, where's our enemies? We don't have any yet. Like Ian Freeman, there's a fucking like end free keen, stomp out free keen page on Facebook, and it's all about Ian and
he's got a
him.
Local presence.
Yeah, that's
we don't
true.
Have a local presence.
Yeah,
and I think that's to our benefit as far as that. I mean, it's probably to his benefit for all the activism he gets to do.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
That's kind of his thing.
They lie about him though. Yeah, they call him a pedophile and shit, and he's nothing. He's nothing like that, man. You know, they called him a pedophile because he said there shouldn't be age of consent laws. They called him a pedophile for that. It's basically one middle-aged woman in Keene who grew up there who, like, posts all this shit about how great the troops are and how much she loves her government and how much she loves paying taxes and they provide so many services. It's like her and her kids and her grandkid and her sisters and, like, five other people in Keene and then, like, 10 free Keene people yelling at them. There's, like, 30 people on it. It's been up for years.
F her. She don't know what she's talking about. She's an idiot, and she's gonna die soon, probably.
That's not a threat. Causes. That's not a threat. I don't know.
That's
man.
Not a threat. No, I'm just mean.
She's like my
she's got to be so old if she's into that.
She's like
square.
I think she's my age or younger. She's just right. she's well, and people like that live really long time. Like my stepmother was fucking evil.
Assholes live a long time.
And she lived the like 95,
I think it just feels longer because they're assholes.
She lived to 95 so she could stay around and torment everybody. Yeah.
I picked up a zine. I've never bought a zine before. I didn't know zines still exist.
Really?
I think we talked about that.
Man,
like,
I used
zines
to
still
like, write for zines and have zines and be in zines. Yeah.
I picked up a primitivist primer. By John Moore from Eugene, Oregon.
About
anarcho-primitivism.
I'm amazed that you haven't seen a zine, but I'm also thinking, like, do we need to explain that? I'm like, yeah, we do. I mean, if you've never seen one, and we have younger listeners than you, a zine is a
maybe
Xeroxed,
I have. I've just never seen them in a section that says zines, that has multiple zines.
It's basically a cheap underground newspaper about a subculture. Yeah. There were a lot of punk rock ones. There's a lot of, like, you know, like monkey wrenching ones. They're, you know, how to dumpster dive. There used to be ones. But I didn't think they had them anymore because the internet's so much cheaper, man. But I remember, I told you one time, I remember seeing a punk rocker panhandling in front of the library to get money for the Xerox machine to print his zine. I thought that was so cool. That was like, that was like,
was it always like this, though?
It was like Kickstarter in 1986. You know, that was, he stood on the corner and begged to put out his paper.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Was it? So I guess it was always like that because the zines they were all donation only. It's the same model as blogs are. You know, well, I guess there's advertising
not,
blogs.
It's not
too,
always
but.
Like they. Some were 25 cents, some were 50 cents, some were a dollar.
Okay.
It was rare that they were over.
Now, these
50
were all
cents,
donation
though.
Zines, but there was a suggested donation of between $1 and $3.
I tell you, like in the punk rock scene in DC, like I'd go to a show. And when they're, you know, there were shows almost every night, but when there'd be a big show like the Circle Jerks or Black Flag or somebody from out of town or Minor Threat from in town, when there was a big show that had like 500, 700 people at it, like that would be the day they'd print their zine, and then they'd have them and take them to the show, and they'd sell them, and like they'd all sell out. Like between the bands, you know, 10% of the people were sitting there trying to find a place with some light to like read the zine. It was so cool.
Yeah. See, here's the thing about this whole store and this zine and all this anarchist stuff is
leftist.
It's so very anarchist. Close. The only thing, well, not all of it is leftist. I mean, some of it, like the one about primitivism, it hates Marxism. It says that Marxism wants to get rid of capital, but they don't want to get rid of the state. What kind of BS is that? Is basically its point. Yeah. It's like we want to get rid of all power structures, but. It lacks economic understanding. And this flyer, they have a giant flyer in bold typeface that says, anarchy is impossible, and it is that very impossibility that makes it desirable. Long live anarchy. How cool would it be if they just recognized that it's very possible?
Yeah.
And not only is it possible, but basic economics shows it as preferable.
You just need to know, like,
what's that?
You just need to know fifth grade math. Hey, let's take a break and reboot.
Yeah.
I think we're getting a delay.
All right.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and I love the Plume Room nicotine liquid for all my e-vaping pleasure.
And I'm DJ Dean, the fiend behind the scene. We exclusively use the Plume Room artisan e-liquid. The Plume Room vape juice is made lovingly in America by the talented mad mixtress Andrea. It's not mass-produced or stored in stockpile. The Plume Room has 25 flavors, and almost a third of them are Spin Fuel Award winners.
Tell them the fiend sent you and use the discount code VAPE2014 to get 10% off at theplumeroom.com. That's theplumeroom.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
So, Nima.
Hipster antiquing.
So, yeah.
What's up?
You got more on that? You got more?
No. It was just a lot of fun.
Ben Quaker. I talked to Ben Stone today.
Yeah. All right.
He's doing better. He's not out of the woods yet, but he's good. He was good today. He told me the funniest fucking thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah? What was it?
He said that, okay, you know, he put on his web, people send him, you know, 25, 40 bucks here and there. He gets some donations.
Right.
He said he put on his website, you know, if you you know, I'm not going to be doing shows for a couple months. If you gave a donation and want it back, let me know and I'll send it back.
Which yeah, that's cool of them.
It's pretty cool. And, yeah. you know, I knew nobody'd say, give me my money back. You know, and right, no one did. Right. Today, he gets an email from a guy who 2 years ago anonymously sent Ben 2 Bitcoin. When Bitcoin were $11, $11 each, he wants the 2 Bitcoin back.
Was he joking?
He was not
that
joking.
Sounds like a joke.
It was not a joke. And the guy never even Ben didn't know where it came from. It was like it came anonymously. No one wrote him, you know. And this guy's like, "Yeah, that was me. Give me my give me 2 Bitcoin."
No, that didn't work that way. Although I guess Ben should have been clearer. Like yeah, if you donated within the past 6 months,
yeah,
that could have helped him out. I guess he just figured people who listen to Ben
aren't
you don't
dicks.
Think of them as being dicks.
Yeah.
But I guess that guy's a dick.
That's pretty dicky, man. I told Ben. If it were me, I would either not write him back or I'd write back and say, fuck you. Or I'd write him back and say, are you fucking serious? If you are, I'll pay you in cash twice what the Bitcoin was worth when you sent it to me.
Twice?
Yeah.
No, I'd pay him the amount it was worth.
No, I'd pay him twice. You know, he thinks it's an investment and he's owed on it. He's not. But, you know, give him $44, you know. But he's asking for like $1,800, basically.
Yeah,
for giving Ben $22 buddy. 2 years ago.
That's not right.
Yeah.
I don't think the anarchy judge quorum would agree to
that. Well, he said he wanted to ask an arbitrator about it. I'm like, well, you've asked me. And I say, and he's like, well, you're not really impartial. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair
I guess
enough.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. So we got our first Namecoin donation. Why don't you read?
We did.
Why don't you read? We got like $100 in Namecoin. Mm-hmm. And I bought it from you with Bitcoin. I paid you your share in Bitcoin because I'm stacking mad Namecoin. And I want to say, people, I have a tip for you. Go buy Namecoin. That's all I can say. Actually, that's not all I'm going to say because that sounds like insider trading. And I'm saying this publicly. I believe Namecoin is going to go up to it's like $7-6 a coin. I think it's going to go up to 1,000 because it has another use and it's domain names, and somebody's working on making a way to make that easier and popularizing it.
You're so bad at telling secrets, but
it's me. Everyone knows it's me. I published a fucking blog post about it.
Oh, that's right. You did. Okay.
God,
okay.
Man. So read this funny note, man.
All right. Michael and Nima. Michael, I hope that your last fundraising rant about making cat food puts as much fear into everyone else as it did me.
And I said,
thanks for all you do.
Tim. Yeah. And I said, thanks, man. You rock out with your sock out. That's our first Namecoin donation. Pretty nice one, too. Rock. And I asked him if he wanted some buttons, and he said,
don't grind me into cat food and we're even.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what he meant by the cat food thing at first.
Remember I thought, said that.
I remember you said that now, but when I first read that, I thought, did Michael say he was eating cat food?
No, I said,
42
hell
cents?
No, man. I'm doing well.
You said that
I'm doing well, but
on
I need
the golden
money.
Floppy
Send money.
Disk of redemption, or you'll get ground down into cat food.
When I'm the libertarian emperor of the world, when the aliens hear our radio show and come save me.
Right, yes.
You know, if I'm on 4 more nights a week, I'm going to have a lot more chance of being heard from space. And, you know, at night, radio travels further.
But the aliens are already here. They're the tall whites.
The good aliens.
Oh, we also got a comment from Saeed in Iran saying that the joke in Iran is they call Fars News Service false news service.
We covered that.
And you guys covered that on Sunday, I'm guessing?
You covered that with me on Saturday.
No, we made fun of that story.
Oh, okay. Then
on
I
Saturday,
covered it on Sunday. Yeah, I read it on Sunday. Good. Okay, yeah, man. Good. Yeah, we had another. We had a Bitcoin donation too, where people bought stuff with Bitcoins. People should do that. People should keep doing that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I think I'm gonna. I'm thinking about starting to offer DJ services in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's lots of hip Austinites that could possibly get married that would rather pay me in Bitcoin.
I wonder if anyone's doing that. You know, there's one radio station now in California. It's, as far as I know, the only radio station that takes Bitcoin for ads. And they carry Free Talk Live. I think Ian turned them on to it.
Cool.
Yep.
And we take Bitcoin for ads. So if you've got a bunch of Bitcoin and you want to have your voice heard on 19 radio stations and a bunch of internets,
we took Bitcoin for ads for Shiny Badges. That's our other new advertiser. So we've never had two paid advertisers at once before. So ads are $200 a month to play on every Fiend show on the weekends, live on radio, and go into the weekend pod. Pod thing. So yeah, man, buy him.
Pod thing.
You know, we actually had a station today tell me he's probably going to drop us in 2 months. I probably shouldn't be saying that while I'm hucking ads, but you know, we'll be on more than 19 stations by then anyway. Huh? But yeah, the guy, he said that he said it was a small station that we're only on like one day a week, and he said that that it's not resonating very well with his audience because they don't mind the content, they don't mind the Liberty stuff, but we talk about hip, young rock and hip hop, or he said rock bands, and they don't. Uh-huh. They're like, I don't know what that is, and
really,
and he said, I don't want to tell you how to do. I'm not telling you to change. I'm just giving you feedback. And I said, what about Free Talk Live? Do they like them? And he's like, yeah, they don't talk about rock bands.
That's true.
They talk about Liberty and that's it. We're more of a general interest show.
They mostly talk about Liberty, yeah. There's not a whole lot of culture or art critique in Free Talk Live.
Yeah, my late night show is going to be even more art critique and even less. I mean, it's going to have Liberty. You know, everything comes back to anarchy to me. But it's going to be less strictly politics and more general interest. And I'm going to have varying co-hosts. I've got four people committed to be in my rotating Rolodex of co-hosts is Nikki Darling, Bill Buper, Chandler St. Pierre. Well, I got three, and I've asked the, what's the guy's name? The wandering capitalist? No, the vagabond capitalist? No, the, you know who I'm talking about?
No.
You know who I'm talking about.
Probably.
He's in Vietnam, and he and, you know, expats are a good choice because that's the afternoon for them, you know?
Right. Yeah. Especially if they're in Asia. Yeah. Ah, well, that's cool, man. Yeah, that should be awesome. The thing about art
critique. Nomad capitalist.
Is it seems pretty similar to me to political critique because everything's just stories.
Yeah.
Political junkies like to pretend that they're smarter than people who are into art, but all politics is the stories that powerful people tell you so that you don't feel so bad about them stomping on your face with their jackboots.
It's they want to put a gun to your head and make you look at the art they like.
Yeah. Well, that's part of
sometimes
it. Yeah. Well,
literally.
They want you
literally.
To see the gun pointed at your head as art.
There you
it's
go.
It's brutalist art.
Brutalist art. I actually thought of a funny way to make money, and I was kind of like saying this jokingly to myself, and then I'm actually thinking about it, about how to make money at radio. Because I was thinking like, okay, I've got like three co-hosts, and I need like 10 because I need to be able to have – it's also going to be open phones, and there's a lot of people who call in at night on radio shows. But I need to have like 6 more people so I can have like rotating whoever's available for a couple days at a time co-hosts. Because I can't talk just by myself, but I can have almost anybody – talking with me and be brilliant. I just need someone to bounce it off. Although you're great on your own, but you know, I can have anybody who's good and smart and can say something libertarian once in a while with me, and then I can just be the big bully talking blah 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 blah, blah over everybody else. Not bully, but you know, the dominant beast on the mic.
Well, here's what you do. Just get like one of your shows, record it.
I thought about that
and,
too.
Cut out all of your parts and then just play the other person's parts on the loop. Just say new things in between the spaces.
No, I'll just have Mike, because Mike can't do it because he works days and he's like, but although Chandler works days and he's like, yeah, I'll just sleep in the day. I'll do it at night. But Mike, I could just get Mike and just record him saying like 50 things that kind of agree.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Like, oh, look at those clowns in Congress. What a bunch of clowns. I could have the morning
co-host
zoo crew.
3000.
I could have the DJ 3000 and just press the buttons. Yeah. I'll bet I could do that and make it sound kind of cogent. But no.
It would be funny, if anything.
But here's what I want to do. Once. I was thinking this could actually become the literal teaching hospital. I can mentor a lot of people and
teach them
everything I know about radio.
So everybody will call into like other libertarian shows and talk about how what they want to do with their life is be a liberty broadcaster. You say, hey, man, come on my show. Try out your chops.
Yeah. I'll do that for free. But then I also thought I should actually do it as a structured school where I charge people money and teach them from my vast knowledge of everything about media production and promotion. And they get some on-air time.
Right.
It's kind of like those, like my friend joined this guitar, went to this guitar master class. It was the guy Robert Fripp from King Crimson.
It was taught by Squisgar, right?
When it was like, no, this was a class where like, you know, you'd work with the guy for like a month, like 8 hours a day, and then you'd go play a gig with him.
Oh, cool.
So that'd be kind of what this would be like. Like, you'd do it, yeah, and then you'd get to go do a two-hour shift with me or a couple of them. Yeah.
Do you, now here's my only concern.
On actual radio.
Do you have the patience for that?
No. The thing is, I have the patience to do it for free. I don't have the patience to do it for money, because then people would expect something and they'd bother me too much.
So I'm just for free, you can say, go away, kid, you bother me.
Yeah.
They pay you, you feel obligated.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Although they can give me donations. They can pay to play on the Fiends. Okay. But no, yeah. I really want to do it. But I'd be picky, too. I don't just want anybody on there. I want people that want to do radio, want to learn, are willing to go.
You'd have to apply for the Fiend Turnship.
The Fiend Turnship. Yeah, and you have to go buy a $60 USB mic that I tell you to buy.
Okay, yeah. On school supplies.
On my Amazon link. Not the Fiends, on mine. Yeah, so that's the school. You have to buy the school supplies, that and some headphones, and then you can do it. Yeah.
So I like that.
I'm not,
that's good idea.
I don't know if I'm giving an open call, but if there are people listening who, like, can be up occasionally in the middle of the night from like midnight to 2 Central Time US.
Central Time. Mm-hmm.
And they think they want to be on radio and they can do everything I say, which basically means be there when you say you will, don't monopolize it, don't cuss, be respectful, be smart, you know, be the second fiddle to me. I might let you on sometime. So people can write me and tell me that if they really want to do it.
If somebody did cuss and it seemed like an honest accent,
do they dump them.
They get away with one. Do you dump them?
No.
Two, they're gone for good.
No, they get one. They don't get any. The only person we've ever had cuss was Brendan Small, and he's a fucking rock star. And
No. We had somebody else cuss too, didn't we?
Nope.
We had some other libertarian rock star that was kind of didn't we?
Nope. Like
Stephen Kinsella, somebody.
He cussed the bow tie guy. What's his name?
Jeff Tucker.
He cussed on Free Talk Live the other day.
Ah, that's it. That's what I'm thinking of.
But it got caught. It got caught. I was like, whoa, of all the people to cuss, man. Mr.
Too much bourbon for breakfast, man. I'll do it to you.
Yeah.
I like Jeff Tucker is somehow so cool, hip, and young, even though he's probably like 50-something with the gray hairs and
50.
Whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, so I guess you are only as young as, because you're like youngish too, and you're like 50 now, aren't you?
Yeah,
I'll be
50 in May.
Gives me hope. Yeah, 50 is the new 30.
I don't feel 50.
30 is the new 20.
I do now because I didn't sleep enough last night. But let me send you this funny thing: a guy who ordered buttons and wanted me to sign the Data DVD, like autograph it.
Oh, and that's sweet.
It was, but I was like, well, you know, I already sealed them up. I have a stack of them here. I sealed them up. I put my return address on them. I put the postage on them. I'd have to open it up. Do you really want it to? I really will. And read what he wrote me back. It was funny.
Haha, I do envy your organization. I was imagining this through the lens of my own life, which would be a big bucket of Fiends buttons and an unwrapped pile of blank DVDRs and padded envelopes underneath a pile of unread mail. That sounds like my life.
I was thinking that's why I do the merch. Although you did send out, somebody bought 10
same
guns
next day shipping.
Yeah, 10 guns and weed DVDs. And I made a mistake on that. I didn't know which guy we were sending it to, but it turned out to be the right guy. It was funny.
Yeah, I panicked for a little bit.
I thought it was the wrong Ross.
We sent it to the wrong Ross.
Yeah.
But no, it was the right Ross. Hopefully he enjoys his plethora of Guns N' Weed DVDs and vintage buttons.
Yeah. That we don't have
anymore. I'll take some of my extra buttons and I'll donate them to one of the vintage hipster antiquing stores.
Dude, you should totally do that.
A big pile of buttons with like a bunch of political crap, like vote for LBJ and all sorts of gay stuff. So,
hey, there's a cool Liberty site I want to pimp real quick. It's brinkoffreedom.net. Yeah, they wanted us to do some writing for them, and we're just too busy, man.
I saw that.
I can't do writing for me. I'm so busy. But check them out, man. Brink of Freedom, BRINKOFF. REEDOM.
Yeah,
Brink of free. Did I say three F's? It's
seems they want to buy ads.
Hey, buy ads. They listen. That'll save me an email. That'll save me an email. Buy ads.
We'll write an ad for you.
Yeah.
To play on our air. That's what we'll do.
So the internet's going to fail.
Like a cool site,
the internet's going to fail.
I was hearing people complain about that. I don't buy
what'd
it. What'd you hear?
What'd you hear the reason? DJ, shut the door.
There was this guy.
Woo!
He was kind of an interesting.
I forget what show it was. I was listening to some other guy's show, and he was kind of minarchist a little bit. Stefan Molyneux was trying to school him into it. And he was worried that the NSA was going to ruin this beautiful thing called the internet, and people are just going to get sick of it, and there needs to be a new architecture.
Different thing. Well, there is IPv6 coming out, which is – have you seen an IPv6 IP address? They're like fucking Martian, man. They're like letters and
like
numbers.
Does it look like a Bitcoin?
It's like twice. Yeah, it's like, but it's weirder. It's like twice as long. It has like six octets instead of four, and they're each like letters and numbers. I see them in BitTorrent sometimes because BitTorrent uses them, and some people have them now.
Is that the packet protocol? What is IPv4? What does it do?
IP address. It's addresses because the internet's running out of IP addresses. There's because they're used for everything now. They're used for websites, cell phones, satellites.
To track you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cool.
But here's my joke of why the internet's going to fail. They're coming out with like coming out with like 1,000 new domains, dot level domains. Do you know about this? TLDs?
No, I didn't hear like, about that.
Like dot Republican, dot Democrat, dot dog, dot dog, dot shop, dot adult. Because they can sell them, because they know that Pepsi's going to have to go out and buy Pepsi dot all of them to protect their trademark. Because there's a government.
Who's doing this though?
The big board of geeks that runs the internet in conjunction with the people that sell domain names.
This is the same people that do the domain or the DNS. The same people who can get you kicked off. Yeah. What are they called?
I can
shut down your interwebs. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what
Namecoin is going to eliminate is you're going to be able to have dot bit addresses that it already does that, but we need my friend's making a way to view them automatically.
It's on their front page when you go to icann.org.
Yeah, read some of them.
Okay. Well, oh man.
They don't have dot anarchist. Now here's why the internet's going to fail. I'll just say it right now. They have dot dog, but they don't have dot cat. The internet's going to fail. The internet runs on cat pictures, man.
Yeah. Oh, what's his face? That really funny, that libertarian writer. Didn't he quote you in an article recently?
Oh, yeah, Taryn
for
Lupo.
The lack of cats?
He didn't quote me. He wrote this hilarious thing based on my statement and then sent it to me and said, do you approve this? And I was waking up having my coffee and I'm like, well, it doesn't say I'm a pedophile or a Nazi, sure. I didn't even I hardly read it, man. I just saw what it was about. And he said, I need a picture of Peanut. And I'm like, picture of Peanut, last one I took. Here you go. All right. It was funny, man. He did an article about why the internet's going to fail. And that kind of inspired this with me. But yeah, it's really going to fail because they don't have .cat, man.
Let's see. I'm trying to find his article.
There's no anarchist.
The internet is getting dangerously close to collapsing by Taryn Lupo. I'm going to read your fake quote. So you didn't interview this.
No, he's funny, man. I like him.
Yeah. Michael W. Dean Concerned. You're actually the first subheading on the article.
Of course.
Renowned radio host Michael W. Dean was blunt when I interviewed him. And this is Michael's quote. I'm getting really concerned about this latest trend. I think we hit Pete Kitty last year, and it has been on a big downward slide. People have not been posting pictures of their cats like they used to. If this keeps up, the internet will power down by the end of next month. There was a time I would check my email box and be overwhelmed with cats chasing lasers, playing games on iPads, or knocking down some small child. But these days, I am lucky to see a cat swatting a dog's tail once a week. The feline-related traffic has really slowed down.
Man, this guy's awesome.
Hold on. Dean continued, I have to resort to filming my own cat Peanut and emailing it to myself just so I can feel normal again.
I didn't even read that. That's funny. I'm glad you're reading what I wrote to me. That's funny.
I'm reading what somebody said
I don't respect him. I have great respect for Taryn Lupo. I've just been too fucking busy to read what people say I wrote, and I approve this message. I did approve the message.
See, this is how Ron Paul got on the string for those damn newsletters.
That's what happened. I know. Someone sent him a 10-page article, typed out, mailed it to him when he was a congressman and writing books, and said, do you approve this message? And he's like, I read something about
that. He's like, I got 18 grandkids. I got to go to a fucking graduation.
I know.
Sorry.
That's exactly what happened, man.
I met one of his granddaughters, or grandkids named Lisa Paul, which is actually my mother-in-law's name. I thought that was kind
of
weird.
I used to have a friend when I was a kid named Scott Paul. This is before I ever heard of Ron Paul. Yeah, I don't know what ever happened to him. I wonder if he's related.
Yeah, my wife's mom's name is Lisa Paul, and she's a 40-something sociology major. My mom's name is Lisa D. Paul is her maiden name, and she was also a sociology major of about the same age. So it's kind of weird.
Spooky.
Yeah. Hopefully there's no relation.
No.
Our kid looks pretty not retarded, so.
No relation.
I think the chances are pretty good.
Oh, your kid?
Yeah, my kid looks pretty not retarded.
Yeah, your kid looks pretty not retarded. Yeah, I think all babies kind of look retarded. But yeah, yours looks less retarded than most.
Thank you.
Don't tell your wife I said that. That's not something the young mother wants to hear. I'm kidding.
It's funny.
I think babies look weird, man. Babies look like aliens or something.
Some of them do. So ours has these huge eyes that you can look into and know that there's a person in there who's just like pissed off that her ditty's wet and wants you to change it now.
And see, I don't have that in my cat Peanut. I have that in Charlie, but I look in Peanut and it's like, nobody's here. No one's home. The lights are on, but
well,
no one's home.
Peanut's Peanut. Yeah.
Peanut is Peanut's really stupid.
Charlie's wise, though.
Charlie's very wise.
I dig Charlie.
Yeah. So I have an announcement. That you don't really totally know about, and the fiends are going to hate. The fans are going to hate.
Well, that's not good.
When I start doing this show 4 nights a week live, in addition to the two days of fiends on the weekends, I'm probably not going to be able to do the Wednesday show anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's okay, man.
Yep.
That's okay.
Yep.
I mean, you'll be putting out more content. I imagine – I don't see a problem with – I don't know. I guess we can talk about this on the fly. Are you going to put up the Michael W. Dean late night talks on the RSS feed for the fiends?
No, I'm going to make the website for it's going to be michaelwdean.com. I already have the site. My blog, I'm going to turn that into a pod blog. I did some work on it last night, putting on PodPress and testing it. If anyone wants to go listen, well, I'm going to put the thing I made at the beginning of this cast and replace where I played it and it sounded like shit through the speakers. But that's going to be it. But I am going to put the episodes into our streaming, the streaming link we have.
The stream link, which also has Anarchy Gumbo and music
and
stuff,
it has
so that makes
radio.
Sense.
Yeah, it's like everything you and I do. And, if you had a burning desire to keep doing the Wednesday shows and wanted to get a guest, I'd be fine with you doing that.
I might do it occasionally. Yeah, in fact, even my wife brought that up that, if you want, you could do your own.
And really occasionally,
I can't commit to it every week.
I could do it really occasionally, too. And, if you're ever up in the middle of the night, dealing with trying to get a baby back to sleep, you could jump on and spend 20 minutes on this show, on my show.
Theoretically, I could.
You could.
The easiest ways to get her to sleep, one of them is putting her in a baby carrier. We have this baby carrier called a Boba, and it puts her against my chest like she's in my womb or something.
But if she talks, would it wake her up?
Gets knocked right out. No. I actually play music. That's the other thing is I'll put her in that, and I'll play some music with really loud 808s, really loud hip-hop bass.
Yeah.
Soothes her right to sleep. The black noise, I call it. No racism.
That's funny.
But yeah, she's into that. So yeah, we did a Wednesday show like that, or the beginning of a radio show. It was the same situation.
Well, that's an option too. Even if I have a third guest on there, their host on there, but you could just pigeon me and say, "Hey, can I jump on?" And I'd get you on the compass, and I'd put you on. It'd be no problem.
Yeah. And I guess I don't know if this is news you can use or not, but maybe people don't know it exists. If you have a newborn or are going to have a newborn at some point after hearing this, we bought like 3 or 4 different sleep devices for her, and only one has been worth its money.
The opium mask?
yes. The liquid opium. It's called a rock and play. It's called the Snug-A-Bear rock and play. And it actually, she's at an incline. She's laying in like a pouch, like a cocoon hammock. And it's on these rockers, like a rocking chair. And it's about 2 feet high, and you can rock her back and forth. And she's at an incline, because she hates being on her back, man, which is good. A daddy likes that about her daughter, about his daughter. And that's the only thing that's worked. The bassinet, she hates. The crib, we haven't even attempted, because we think she'll hate it. And co-sleeping, she figured that out after a few weeks and hates it. So rock and play, man. Rock and play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worms. I don't know how many of our listeners – most of our listeners, I imagine, have already had kids or their kids are a little bit older. But if you plan on having them in the future, it's a good thing.
Read what I just sent you. I like how you read copy.
Copy. Why do they call it copy?
Copy. Because you copy other people's style at the news desk.
Copying it. Yeah, yeah. Because you copy the AP wire.
Because you copy the AP wire and put it in your own words.
All right. All the talk show hosts are asking the wrong questions. If they want to fix the government, us compared to them reminds me of where Jonas Salk. Who's Salk, that?
The guy who invented penicillin.
Oh, okay. Of where Jonas Salk looking for the cure to bacterial infections.
No, we're Jonas Salk.
Yeah, we're Jonas Salk.
Yeah.
We are Jonas Salk looking for the cure to bacterial infections, and they're trying to heal disease by laying on hands or sacrificing goats or leeches.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's totally it. But see, that's the key word here in this whole paragraph is if they want to fix government.
Yeah.
Because they don't.
You didn't read it quite right, I think, because it's if they want to fix government. I should have reversed it. Let me fix it for you, and you can read again. Jonas Salk cured polio. He didn't invent. Polio vaccine.
Copy on the fly. See, it hasn't been copy edited. It's got to be copy edited before I read it from my teleprompter.
Well,
Michael.
Fuck it. We don't need to do it.
No, but I think that's important.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
You're totally right. And I think the if is important because they don't. All they want to do is rent seek. And I was thinking about that, man, because I'm thinking. I could no, I couldn't. But when weighing options,
go back to
you
TV.
Gotta think about I'd go back to TV, do mainstream media. But A, I'd feel dirty. B, I realized all it is rent seeking. All it is you get benefits and a regular paycheck to tell people what the government wants them to hear. That's
all
it is.
Do you think you could get a job in Austin doing that? That's a pretty competitive market.
I don't know about TV, but I probably could on radio.
Radio!
You could
do it and put in subliminals for anarchy.
Well, I was talking to NPR, and you know, they were real nice and called me back, and I didn't get the job because it was sort of a senior level.
You can admit it now that they said
I can admit it now. She told me to keep applying, and she was going to be putting out a bunch of new stuff in December, but I was kind of busy. So
get down on your knees regularly.
There's this thing in the contract, like I would have had to have permission from the university
to do
who runs it. To do the fiends, yeah, you have to have permission to do outside things.
Yeah, and fuck that.
They would have given it one look and been like,
No.
Man, I guess the thing is, that's rent-seeking, and that's what they want. They don't want to fix the government. They don't want to fix anything. They want to be able to smile or talk in a reporter voice on the radio and draw a fat check and have insurance because health care is enormously expensive and more expensive than it should be.
Let's go take a break and then come back for the third and final redemption, third act.
Let's do it.
Michael Dean After Dark.
All right.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Well, I want to get to this one thing first, and then we'll do the Ukraine government.
I'm recording.
Protesters.
I just want to say that Michael Dean After Dark is basically going to be the Anarchy Gumbo combined with 70s freeform FM
radio.
Yeah, I'll be like, yeah, and that was Lysander Spooner going all the way back to 1895 with the Constitution of No Authority.
Yeah. Was it 95? I thought he was dead by then.
I'm kidding.
All right,
but
some 1800s.
To go.
I picked up a book at Women and Women First. Oh, I mean Monkey Wrench
Books.
That's
funny.
Called We Are All Apocalyptic Now. It's by Robert Jensen, who was my professor, my journalism professor at UT. And he was one of them that stuck out in my mind because most people would probably call him like that liberal college professor, and that's what people did call him, and they hated him when he came out with his article about, hey, 9/11 was blowback, guys. And he did not retract it. He did not apologize. He just stuck to his point because he was right. But I picked up this new book called We're All Apocalyptic Now. Chapter 7, I'm really excited to read. It's called The Myth of the Neutral Intellectual. And this is the guy that taught me that there's no such thing as fair and balanced. There's no such thing as an objective reporter. It is impossible to take yourself out of everything in your brain that has shaped you as a person and not see any story through your own eyes. You can't do that. You have eyes. You have your own ears. And he makes a point here about intellectuals that's the same point Murray Rothbard made. And I just thought it was really cool that, hey, man, even though there's people in universities that people would call, you know, liberal idiots, some of them are radical. Some of them aren't, you know, apparatchiks of the Democratic Party. And so I'm going to read the first two paragraphs here. He says, how does the intellectual world deal with the tension between the potential for resistance to wealth and power that exists in a relatively free and open intellectual arena and the demands of the wealthy and powerful? How does the system minimize the possibility that intellectuals will bite the hands that feed them by challenging the people and institutions that provide the resources for much of the intellectual work that gets done? Now, pause. It seems pretty obvious there. They just stop paying them. But the next paragraph is where it gets good. He says, the rules of life in authoritarian and totalitarian states are clear. The state, which represents the interest of a particular set of elites, governs through a combination of coercion and violence that typically is quite brutal, and propaganda that typically is heavy-handed. In that formula, intellectuals have a clear role. Serve the state by articulating values and describing social, political, and economic forces in a fashion consistent with state power and its ideology. To the degree that one does that, one will be rewarded. The Soviet Union was perhaps the paradigm case of this kind of system. I would argue with that last thing too. I think it's the modern U.S., man. It's the exact same paragraph you had
here.
Me read.
It's hidden.
It's becoming less and less hidden, though.
But they want it hidden. In the Soviet Union, it was, of course, the state controls everything because we all love the state and we're all part of it. And they had a one-party system, and dissent was illegal. And it was, you know, it was like kind of like Nazi Germany. It was like all for the fatherland, and you didn't question that, Mother Russia.
Right.
Now everybody's screaming at everything, and the people sinking at the top, the government people are just, you know, like, oh, we gotta love the government. And it's like, you know, the polls say 70% of the people don't, you know, 93% hate Congress, 70% hate the NSA, and Obama's still up there, and all those people still up there saying, oh, do like, you know, Clinton, Mrs. Clinton doing a tour of universities of trying to like restore faith in the government. Come on, man.
Oh, did you see that Time magazine cover that said, can anyone stop Hillary? Like, does she seem unstoppable? That just seems like Time putting out a cover to make you think she is.
Well, I think it's Time trying to make her unstoppable, and I think she's going to be the next president. But
I sure as hell hope not, but I don't know. Maybe I hope
My predictions have been coming true, man, because I predicted that they were going to use pot to get her elected, and I was surprised that so quickly, you know, a month after I said that, Obama came out and said, pot's good, alcohol's bad.
Except you also predicted the playing, you can have either guns or weed, which is the opposite of our song and our movie, guns and weed.
I mean, they haven't done that yet. I mean, I could see them actually.
In Illinois, actually, this came out recently. In Illinois, the language of their new state medical marijuana bill says that one of the requirements is you pay $150 licensing fee per year for your medical marijuana license, and you have to give up the right to own a gun.
Illinois?
It's actually in the bill.
Of course it is.
In Illinois.
I wonder if the NRA will challenge that one, because that's something they would challenge if it didn't have pot on it. I wonder if they'll even touch that. Mm-hmm. If they were smart, they would, even though they like the war on drugs, because they should see the writing on the wall of how that's going to be played by the Democrats.
Right.
So let's see.
Yeah,
let's
and they should want to get more young people on their side, man. No young person is a fan of the war on drugs, no matter how Republican they pretend they are.
Well, you know, the Heller Foundation is a gun rights organization that's run by the guy who, you know, the Heller decision. That guy has a gun rights organization. And I've been talking to them about taking ads. Right. And, you know, they're kind of.
And they're actually kind of hip, aren't they?
They are kind of hip, but they're not a lot of young people know about them. They're not a brand, you know, a household name like the NRA. I hope they take ads on the Fiends. They really should if they're smart.
Yeah. Well, the NRA reminds me of another point on that Soviet Union thing is, you know, the sort of modern U.S. has kind of taken their statist evil model and improved on it in a lot of ways. And I think one of that is using divide and conquer. You know, in the Soviet Union, you're right. There was just one party. There was nobody to play each other
off. Well, there was divide and conquer. There was, if you question the state, you're mentally ill and we throw you in a mental
hospital. Divide
everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I think that people like to have giant conglomerate groups and collective organizations that they can identify with and go rah-rah team, rah-rah. And I think having Democrats and Republicans is really important to keeping the state afloat, because they can say, oh, you hate the state, don't you? Yeah. Well, you should vote all those Democrats out, and then we'll all be great.
Yeah. Was the Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union, weren't they?
Yeah, it was.
Read this article from how the Ukraine is starting to act like Russia again. Like the Soviet Union.
Right. Headline from, New York Times. Ukraine's opposition says government stirs violence. That's kind of obvious.
Well, thank you, that's not the real headline. Okay. That I thought it was what it says. Like, you know, there's anarchy protesters saying, you know, all government is violence. But that's not what this says.
All right. Well, let's read on then. This is from Kiev. As demonstrators in ski masks scuffled with the police here on Tuesday evening, opposition leaders accused the government of provoking the very violence it has been condemning in an effort to discredit and possibly split the protest movement. Quote, the government tried to marginalize the protest, hoping that after 60 days in the cold, people would become tired and leave, and only a different contingent would remain. Only bums. But this did not work, said Yuri Sirotyuk.
Okay, jump down below the picture and read that long paragraph below the picture. That's the one I'm really interested in here.
Below the picture. Okay. Are you talking about below the picture of the knocked over, burnt out bus in the snow?
Yep.
Okay. The government's opponents said three recent actions had been intended to entice the more radical protesters.
Incite.
And so doubt.
Incite.
What did I say?
Entice. Man, you're out of you don't know how to use a teleprompter anymore. It's been so long.
I guess so.
And you slept three hours last night. You're doing great for 3 hours. Pretty someday. You know. Go ahead.
Entice. It's close enough to incite, right? Same concept.
Same concept.
All right. Anyway, the government wanted to incite the more radical protesters and sow doubt in the minds of moderates. The passing of laws last week circumscribing the right of public assembly, the blocking of a protest march past the parliament building on Sunday, and the sending of cell phone messages on Tuesday to people standing in the vicinity of the fighting that said, quote, "Dear subscriber, you are registered as a participant in a mass disturbance."
So they're using geolocation of any cell phone in the area and sending in a message saying, you know, you're citizen, yeah. You are bad, basically. We know
right,
you're
right.
Yeah, we know who
by
you
stepping
are.
On this block, you agree to the terms of service. You are now a registered participant. What kind of legalese is that,
registered.
Man?
They registered them as, yeah, it means we've added you to the golden floppy disk of damnation.
Now talk about burying the lead, New York Times.
I know.
That was like six paragraphs down.
Well, I got
that
this.
That should have been at the top.
I got this as a tweet from Daniel Nazer of the EFF, who we interviewed, and he got the lead right. Of course, he's from the EFF. The lead, yep. He found the lead, which is the EFF lead, and the real lead in this, which is in Kiev, they're using cell phone geolocation to tell protesters on their phones. It's very, very 1984. It's the telescreen, man. It's the telescreen saying, you know, dear citizen, you are not being compliant. Please step out of your house and put your hands, you know. Good day, governor. Got any guns? I'll just take those, you know.
You know, it seems obvious. We ascribe so much prescience to George Orwell when he wrote 1984 that, oh, yeah, he's so right on. But he couldn't imagine that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need a telescreen on every wall. No, F that. Everybody's going to willingly carry the telescreen in their pockets at all times.
Oh, they're going to line up for 6 hours to buy it for $600 the day it comes out. They're going to come at midnight and line up and camp out.
Yeah. So you don't need to have something on every wall. It's in everybody's pocket.
Yeah, man.
God. Oh man!
Yeah, that is we're really burying the lead. Like he kept like stumbling through it, and I'm like, no, get to the. Like even the headline was the wrong thing on this.
Yeah, the headline was pretty dull. The whole thing was dull. That's why I was reading.
The pictures
it like
are
that.
Great though. The pictures are like hundreds of riot cops, basically. And an overturned and people over. It's well, these are like city workers trying to right a bus that's been turned over by protesters. It looks like all the windows have been smashed out too, or else it's been burned. It doesn't look like a bus anymore, man.
The bus was burned overnight, and it just looks like the frame of the bus. I guess because it's covered in snow, it looks new.
Oh,
and white.
It's snow because it looks white. Yeah, it doesn't look burned. Yeah. Okay, it's snow. It's snowing here, man. It's snowing here.
Sucks for you.
Yeah.
It was beautiful today. It was the perfect day to play hooky, man. It was like 70 degrees, bright and sunny. Oh, man.
China has internet addiction boot camps, like government sentencing. Like if you're addicted to the internet. Ooh, and they have a picture of a kid at one. And
wasn't that the plot of a Parks and Rec episode?
It looks like
it. The judge sentence Aziz Ansari to not use the internet for a week?
Maybe, but it's a video. I don't want to play it, but look at the picture. It's like a Chinese kid with like electrodes on his head and a chin strap with his eyes closed, like meditating. I don't need the internet. Yes.
just need my internet. The net inside my brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, screw this. Screw the state, man.
Screw the state.
And that's the internet. If you're addicted to it, oh well.
I'm addicted to it, and it's great, man. It allows me to have a social life. You know, I was thinking, like, I think that's one reason also I want to do a nighttime show that takes calls and has different co-hosts, because I would feel like I have more, you know, not that I don't have any friends. I have tons of people that almost venerate me, but I don't really talk to a lot of different people, and I don't really interact with a lot of different people, and I'm kind of afraid of taking calls in the middle of the night. There's a lot of weirdos, but I'm going to get over it, and it's like,
man,
I'm going to be talking to different cool, weird people all the time, every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's important, right? People always talk about community this and community that, and why would you live in the middle of nowhere? You have nobody to talk to. But why would you live in California where you have lots of people to talk to, but there's an evil, overbearing state everywhere? No, you get the best of both worlds. You can live in Wyoming, pay for the fast internet, and you still have the community of people you choose because they're awesome instead of because they're close geographically.
Right.
Yeah.
Got anything else, man?
No, I don't think I have a kicker today.
Do you want to sign off early-ish? 15 minutes early?
Yeah.
I'll keep going if you want. I'm just, I'm kind of talked out.
Yeah, my mouth's really dry.
And I need to go make more music for my new radio show. I'm cheating on you.
Oh yeah, your new music sounds really great.
I haven't left my room today. Like, I've been so busy and creating, and I've been on like four different computers. And oh, I restrung my bass and my guitar today. I haven't restrung them in 2 years, mm-hmm. and I lost my string winder for my guitar, and I forgot how fucking hard it is to restring. It took me like an hour to restring a guitar and a bass. And I had a pack of new guitar strings, and I only had two new bass strings, so I took my low strings off and boiled them in a wok because the only deep pans we have are these really expensive ones that DJ bought.
You boil your bass strings? What does that do?
Oh, yeah, it revitalizes them for a couple weeks.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. I guess only a gigging bassist.
Only a gigging bassist that was a junkie who lived on crumbs would know that.
Yeah. Huh, there you go. Badass. Well, hey, they sound so tight in that those new bumps. Yeah, man.
I can afford new bass strings. I just, there's no music store in town, and I don't have a car. You know,
I was like, come on, man. We were just talking about the internet. If you're an internet,
yeah, but I needed them today. I needed them today.
Well, once Amazon drones come out, then that problem will be solved.
Yeah. Well, you know, one reason it sounds better is I have been recording on the program. I've been recording on Acid, man. Now, I've been recording on Sony Acid for a really long time. And there's something with my computer system, no matter which computer I use, no matter which whatever I use, there's a latency between what I hear and lay down. It's like 6 milliseconds, but it's enough for shit to seem offbeat, and I have to move it manually back to match the drums. And
but it clicks into place though, right? Can't you?
Acid does, but for some reason, it's incredibly easy to do on Vegas. And I never had Vegas on this computer in this bedroom. I've had Vegas. I only use Vegas for like, what I use Vegas for is multi-tracking. I don't use it for video. I've been using it since before it had video. It was just an audio multi-tracking program when it first came out. It was owned by Sonic Foundry. This is before Sony bought it, and then they added it to video. But what I use Vegas for all the time is a multi-tracking program where I'm not doing things in real time. Like all of the promos that I do for radio stations, you know, I have the background music, and then I record separately on the Zoom H2 on hardware. I record, me saying the call letters. You record you saying the call letters and send it to me, and I drag that into Vegas. And I'm really good at moving stuff around in Vegas like that. But I've never really recorded into Vegas one track at a time, adding while listening. And I did it today, and it just, everything's lined up and snapped, and I was able to loop bass parts. And you know, bass parts is I play it like rock, but then I take like the 4 or 8 best performance wise of each, you know, like the best measure or two of each phrase. Part and loop it, and it ends up just sounding like the fucking machine gun. I love it.
Oh yeah, that's how I record everything.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, yeah, you take the best part and you play that,
but it's, you know, everybody does that with loops and everybody does that with keyboards, but not that many people do it with guitars, because most people are like, oh well, it's just as easy, just play it all the way through. But It has a certain sound. I play all the way through, but then I take the best bar and loop it for that whole section, then loop the chorus section for that. And it just sounds like fucking machine guns, especially when you do that and then add another track over it and do that with it. Sounds great. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good work. Like the look what Obama's done for you and the tweak in today is a good example of one I did on Acid that's not all quite right. Like, it's really loose sounding.
It sounded cool loose, though.
It is. It sounds like a drunk.
The Rolling Stones and drunk.
It sounds
drunk
like a punk rock band that's really good, but they're drunk. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas the stuff I did today sounds like, you know, a band that's not drunk and they're playing the best they can in a groove.
In a groove. All right. Cool, man.
All right. Worms?
Yep.
Worms?
Worms to you.
Worms.
Top of the worm to you.
Keep up the good worms. Thank you for your wormins.
Global worming is here.
Yes. Back on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. P.S. I recorded the guitar and bass with my ribbon mic. That's it. Okay.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.